I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.
Today's program has been brought to you by Fairway Market, like no other market, a New York City institution that sells the best local, national, and international artisan foods for prices that can't be beat. For more information, visit fairwaymarket.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We talk about food. About music with musical dudes, finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Imagine many bricks are breaking, so my fading is All right. That was just Too Pretty featuring Colin Self, who will be performing live later today through headphones, which actually sounds really good.
Is that our first alt mic situation?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I bring a lot of alt.
Yeah.
A lot of alt.
With me wherever I
go. We got a packed show today.
Packed show. I'm one half your host. I'm Darren Bresnitz.
And the other half, Greg Bresnitz. Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
We're Finger on the Pulse. Shout out to everybody who came out to the inaugural Barbecue Blowout of the seventh season. Stella Turing Machine. It was awesome. Super awesome. Next one is going to be the second Tuesday in June, I think June 10th, with Bunker and who's DJing?
Wolves.
Yeah.
Who will be on Snacky Tunes coming first weekend in June, so in a couple weeks. And we're doing a little bit of a swap around here today because Dave, oh man. It's still too early. Right in the salad.
Right
in the salad. Anyway.
Like that intermixing of food and technology.
Okay, here we go. We're at the ultimate crossroads of food and technology.
Well, we got a really exciting show today. Super excited.
Yeah. Dave, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
How's it going? How's your week been?
It's been good, man. Yeah, really nice. Just hanging out in New York. We're doing an event down on Bond Street. And seeing lots of people, eating lots of food.
For the people who might not know your magazine, why don't you tell them a little bit about it?
And who are you?
Who am I?
Who are you?
I'm Dave Lane. I'm the one of the founders of The Gourmand, which is a London-based food arts culture journal. And it's like a compendium of kind of great content, and the catalyst for it all is food. So it's not restaurant reviews, and it's not sort of current trends. It's just really, really good writing, great photographs, great illustration. The same way that, like, you know, you sit around with friends and eat dinner, and that's when you talk about really great stuff. It's
that's
a publication.
And that's where the magazine came out of, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Talk to us about that moment, or what led up to that moment.
So I'd
10
like,
bottles of wine.
One
bottle of absinthe.
So I used to design a lot of books and produce a lot of books, and my partner was producing magazines and has a background in food and events, and we were just thinking that, you know, considering it is the most universal subject in the world and every single person eats, it's pretty much the only thing everyone in the world does, that the way it's covered in the media is pretty narrow, you know. It's kind of like six salads for the summer. It's kind of patronizing most of the time.
Yeah.
And like having it as a sort of medium to talk about everything and get great people involved would be just a really nice thing to do. So we did a pilot issue, and basically we invited all the writers and photographers and illustrators that we knew around for dinner, bribed them with like an amazing meal and loads of booze, and then they kind of had to do it. And then we had an issue. And it went really well after that. So.
Were they not able to leave, like, exterminating angel style, or like they weren't allowed to leave until they delivered their?
They just couldn't leave. Like, we, you know, we tied the chairs down. We fed them so much they couldn't get out of the
there
door.
There was a dark room in the back in the studio. They're like, here's your USB stick. Upload the content. Here's a typewriter.
It's like, why am I chained to this?
We locked them up. We gave them a pen and just like occasionally slid.
It's like
a lettuce
misery
leaf under the door.
Misery, but for food magazines.
Pretty much.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it. That's amazing. And you're on which
slow drip of schmaltz for sustenance.
What issue are you on now?
So the fifth issue's at the printers. The pilot issue was zero, which seemed like a great idea at the time. It's like incredibly confusing when it comes to distributing magazines.
All those ideas when you get started, then you're like, oh wait, there's implications of just...
Yeah, it makes sense with like a TV series. When a shop's ordering issue 3 and it's the fourth issue, it's a whole load of pain. But... issue zero is nice to have, you know?
Yeah, I think it's just cool to say issue zero.
Yeah.
Especially with your accent.
Issue zero.
There we go. I'd get into that. Well, in addition to being a great magazine, the design is unlike any other food magazine I've ever seen. Can you talk about how your design background influenced the content of the magazine?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of the other way around, really. Like, I was so used to designing things for other people and producing stuff based on a brief. And for this, we were like really, really interested in the content. So it sort of just got everything else out the way.
Oh, God forbid the content actually inspires the design and not the other way around.
Exactly.
You know?
It's like, you know, I was so interested. The design bit's just sort of super easy and happens at the end. And anything that gets in the way of the content's just kind of pushed off to the side. So it's really clean. It's kind of production-wise, it's a bit more like a book. We use really, really good paper and finishing, and we work with like amazing book printers in Holland.
So I mean, what was the decision to actually put out a printed copy? You know, it's so expensive these days.
Because especially so many signs that would point in the other direction of not going that route.
Yeah.
But also just like to do anything that stands out. It's not just like, oh, we're going to put something on the thinnest paper. It's like, you really got to go to the next level of printing.
I think this whole argument that print is dead is like kind of a bit narrow-minded.
Whoa. Your words, man.
I think
I'm just asking you why you, I didn't say that.
I think it's a bit narrow-minded. I think like cheap print, you know, daily stuff that you go online to get, it doesn't make sense to print that. If you're going to print something, it should stay in the world for as long as possible and be as good as possible. So it was kind of, you know, we want people to keep the magazine. Every decision in it is made so you keep it on your shelf. Even the content, it's not about now, you know, it's like timeless stuff. So
I don't want to put you on the spot for your ecstatic choices, but it's just, you know, it's not printing something and make something physical these days is not something to be taken lightly.
No, I think every
and
medium,
it's no longer like, and I think it's even now being like there's benefits and negatives of being just digital and then also being something you can hold in your hand.
I think every medium has its kind of its ideal content, and I think online stuff is brilliant for like short form things. It's great for film. It's great for images. It's great for like 100 words.
Yeah.
But I don't want to sit down with my coffee on a Sunday morning and read like 3,000 words off a screen.
No.
And if I've got a beautiful photo essay, I want to have it printed and I want to keep it.
But do you do digital editions?
There are digital editions, but only of sold out back issues. So all the back issues that have sold out, a lot of people ask if they can get them. Smart. We're not going to reprint them, so they're like quite affordable digital editions you can get.
That's pretty great. What are one or two of the articles that you're really proud of that you will also think will stand the test of time?
So the next issue, I just pulled the contents up of the next issue because I thought it would be like, it's always a better way to say what it is really, to go through the contents, I think. So there's a piece on like Foley Sound Effects Studios, so the guys that make all the sound effects for films. And
snapping celery for bones and things like that. Yeah.
Like
the
Fatal Punch in Rocky is like a watermelon with cream crackers on the outside. You know?
But so what they do, what they do to get those textured sounds is so insane.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
And there's amazing archive photography of people with like baskets of vegetables and stuff.
Who did you interview for the Foley Sounds?
There's a woman who wrote the book. There's a book about the Foley Sound
Studio. She literally wrote the book on Foley Sound.
Margaret Foley. She did it.
And then she used it in a movie.
And then she used... There's the movie of the book of the movie.
Oh,
the
my
book
God.
Of the movie. And Hannah Lack, who's the film editor at Dazed, and another did, wrote it. So it's a great piece. There's a piece on a guy called Simon Hopkinson, who was really like the very first kind of British restaurateur who did super, super simple classic British food and started the whole kind of St. John, like Mark Hicks, kind of London food trend. And he's an amazing writer. And he started this lovely restaurant called Bibendum. And it's kind of just his thoughts on certain topics, you know. It's him speaking.
Right.
There's a piece on La Fonda del Sol, which was this incredible, massive restaurant that at the time was the most expensive restaurant ever in New York.
At what time?
It was like 70s.
Okay.
And Alexander Girard, the designer, spent like 3 years going around South America researching it. And incredible. Like everything in it was completely bespoke designed. Like Charles Eames did all the chairs. It's excessive
naturally
to the max, but amazing.
Yeah.
You know? So there's a few bits. I mean, it's that kind of varied content.
So it's like almost like historical. Like you would want to know this 20 years from now.
Yeah.
Because it's like food education.
Exactly. And there is an index of recipes in the back. So where they appear in articles, there's an index in the back. So it sort of functions a little bit as a cookbook. But some of those recipes are also like a bit more abstract. Like we did a big piece with John Baldessari and his recipe for an egg is a bit more about...
What's
like,
his recipe for an egg? Throw it up in the air.
So it's like closing the back door so you can't hear the neighbor's wind chime. You know, it's like putting on the right radio station, making sure the dog's happy, and then it's just boiling an egg for 6 minutes.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So that's kind of...
That's really. And then you're in town for Design Week.
Yeah, we're doing an event with Vitsu, who licensed like Dieter Ram's furniture.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bit of an unlikely matching, but actually it's been brilliant. We've made a fruit stand in their store, and we're working with a friend called Missy, who runs a great restaurant in London called Rita's, and she's doing fruit sodas.
Love
every day.
Rita's.
Yeah, it's great.
From the dregs of birthdays.
From the dregs of birthdays.
I was my last night in London. I ate at Rita's and had like 19 Negronis, and then left when they were carving up a pig's head, which was not well received on Instagram.
Pig's head?
Yeah, like a pig's
head.
No,
dude, that type of stuff is like, it's. Now, you're better to just text that photo to friends.
Okay.
But I think it's great you're eating the head, man. Otherwise, yeah. It's just going to get thrown away.
But Rita's is really, really great.
It's brilliant. And Missy was over, and we were doing this event anyway, and we were like, you know, you should come and make some amazing drinks. And we've got some little lovely fruit tarts every day. We did a bit of a tour of New York on the first day. It was really stressful trying as many different French fruit tarts as we could.
Mm. Sounds rough.
It was harsh, man.
Colin, if you could just rub his shoulders, I would. Yeah, yeah.
It was really hard.
We've all been there.
It was really hard.
Fruit tarts in New York, man. Just
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
We even went to one place, and as we were speaking, like water started running out of the light fittings, just gushing down, and we were like, "Do you want to maybe like I think the something's you know." She was like, no, it's fine, don't worry. But she was like, you should probably turn the lights out. There's like water running out of your ceiling. And then the ceiling started kind of wobbling around a bit, and we just got up and left. So. Oh my
God. Was that on Friday during like the insane rainstorm?
It wasn't. It was when it was sunny. I think like whoever was living upstairs had just left the bath on and taken too many Valium or something. I don't know.
I mean, that happens when you go searching for fruit tarts in New York. That's, like,
that's how stressful
that's,
it was.
That's a classic, mean, classic thing. Well, great. Well, where can people pick up the magazine in the States?
So it's in about, I think it's in about 300 stores now in the US, but obviously the US is kind of big.
Yeah.
So I say that.
Yeah,
I've
heard
it's
that.
Probably still quite hard to find.
Yeah.
But in New York, like all the, you know, McNally Jackson, kind of all those kind of shops will definitely have it. You can get it online. You can subscribe online and buy it direct from us. So yeah, it's out there.
Amazing.
Increasingly as well.
That's great.
Any like really nice magazine distributors, if that, you know, listening, get in touch.
Yeah. And Owen, where can they find you? Nuts and Bolts website, Twitter.
Oh, so it's thegormand.co.uk and it's at thegormand, I think, or maybe just at Gormand.
Well,
anyway, you'll find it.
We'll find it. Yeah.
And it's the same on Instagram. And Marina, my partner, does Instagram, and it's a beautiful thing. So you should
should pig's heads or anything like that?
No pig's heads yet.
Although
there's going to be pig's head month next month based on this. So.
Oh, is it that time of the year again already?
We're going to just do one in, like, each day we'll do a section of it. So over the month.
Like a big mosaic.
Mosaic.
Oh, that's actually, that's very nice.
Complaints will start coming
in
2 weeks.
We can just direct them this way.
Be interesting to see what parts of the pig head gets the most complaints, if it's like the snout, the eyeball.
I bet an eyeball would probably be like the eye or an empty eye socket.
I got forehead issues, you know?
Yeah. So we're going to play. So you put together a playlist for
the fruit stand at the Vitsu store. It's on Bond Street, 33 Bond Street. So pop in and have sodas
today.
And tarts.
Go check it out today, right?
Yeah, and tomorrow. It's the last day. We did a fruit playlist. Originally, Femi, who runs NTS Radio in London, was doing it. I did a show on there as well. It's great. You should listen to it.
Shout it out.
NTS Radio. Our show's Gilded Sounds, but every show on it's great.
Yeah, so there's way too much content on a weekly basis.
I've been doing it for like 3 years. I still find new shows every day that I listen to.
By the way, it's The Gourmand on Instagram. Yep. Well done.
So we did a fruit playlist.
Look at that journalist in that chair over there.
It's like the internet's in here or something. Yeah. We did a fruit playlist, and it's all fruit-themed music.
Easy or hard to put together?
Surprisingly easy.
Yeah.
After love, I'd say fruit is up there with weirdly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Smooth jazz.
I mean, we could have, like...
yeah.
What if we just did a show that was just, like, a 60-minute track?
Just got lost.
Just get lost in it. Welcome back to Snacky Tunes.
Welcome back. Quiet sounds on a happy Sunday.
How's that?
No, it's terrible.
Is that my radio puke voice no good?
No, it's awful. Well, Carolyn Russick, welcome back.
Thanks for having
food
me.
Food editor, Philadelphia City Paper. Shout out, Philly. Hello, so sad about the Flyers. Still mourning that. How can you not? I swear to God, if you come home,
it's the same, like
an LA Kings fan one day, I'm going to be so upset.
It's the same story every year.
Is it? How did Philly take that loss?
Everybody was bummed.
Oh, yeah. Fine, whatever.
Caroline,
welcome back.
Thanks.
Shout out to Momo, who fed you last night.
Absolutely.
Momo Sushi Shack. Phil, can't wait for that sandwich shop.
Can't wait.
So, Caroline, what brings you back to Snacky Tunes and gracing us with your presence on a Sunday morning?
Well, I am throwing a big, giant sandwich festival.
What?
In sandwich? A week and a half. Yes.
I guess Philadelphia isn't really known for sandwiches.
No, not at all. Not hoagies, not cheesesteaks, not
roast pork. Just for that face. For a second, I was like,
Just for that face. Ladies and gentlemen, if you could see Greg's face.
I was like, you've lost your goddamn mind.
Can we just say that the roast pork sandwiches should be more famous than the cheesesteak?
It's the unsung hero of Philadelphia sandwiches.
All right.
Or there are so many sandwiches in Philadelphia that it's a crowded plate.
I don't think so. I think there's room for a lot of...
That's a wrap on that joke?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. Okay. Enough. Enough. We don't have enough time to do all the fundamentals of food.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
This will be my last episode of Snacky Tunes.
So, Carolyn, talk to us about this, the great sandwich event. Sandwiches event.
So it's
not just one.
No, there are many sandwiches. We've got like 20 plus restaurants participating. We have new restaurants, old restaurants. We've got like old school sandwiches like Shanks and Schlesinger's and Primo. And then we have, you know, a bunch of like banh mi's and Bosam inspired sandwiches. And we're also going to have a sandwich making competition, like chop style, with secret ingredients.
Who gets to enter into that?
We have Brad Spence from Amice.
Brad, shout out.
Mm-hmm.
Love Brad.
Eli Culp, who's at Fork and A Kitchen, and also High Street on Market. And Scott Schroeder from the South Philly Tap Room and American Sardine Bar.
But, I mean, take me through a chopped sandwich competition, because, like, it's kind of probably... How does it not end up the same, like...
We're going to have basic sandwich pantry ingredients and then secret ingredients.
Okay.
So, you know, probably like 15-minute time constraint and...
It's not going to be like Fruity Pebbles though, right?
I don't know. It's their secret ingredients.
Yeah. They wouldn't be very secret if we told them.
Okay, but this could be like one hint about... So how do you balance the, you know, the classic sandwiches versus like the modern sandwiches, especially since Philly has the reputation of the cheesesteak? How is it not just 9 cheesesteaks? Which I would not be mad at, by the way.
I don't know. I feel like, you know, I've been working to curate the list and make sure that there's a good selection of just, you know, there are a lot of sandwiches in Philly.
For a first-time goer, how would you recommend attacking it? Because
are they full sandwiches?
They're not full sandwiches. Okay. It's a sandwich sampling.
Okay. I mean, that seems doable, but still seems pretty, how do you not get stopped by the copious amounts of bread?
Oh, come on. You got to just be like a sandwich champ.
Sandwich. Do you get a t-shirt or a trophy?
Sandwich champ.
Sandwich champ.
I don't know. That's a lot of sandwiches.
So what are some of the ones that you want to make sure people like? Because, you know, for a lot of food events, people will like stack one or two vendors to get their taste. But who are some of the ones that people should like maybe go first, or an unsung hero? Or
I mean, I feel like you should just mix up, you know, the...
I got the pawn, Greg. Yes. Unsung hero. I got it. Just roll with it, yeah.
Just go with it. Honestly, a lot of vendors haven't gone back to me about what they're making yet.
Mm.
So, I
guess they have the secret.
Yeah, there's a lot of secret components that are happening. It's still a week and a half away. It's on May 28th. So.
I know that they're all your children, but can you pick a favorite? Like, who's like the new sandwich king on the block that you're looking forward to showcasing?
Oh.
Oh, come on.
Oh.
All right, top three.
Top three, God.
At the event or just in Philly in general?
At the event. Well, I would hope that it's one and the same. You know what? We put on a sandwich event, but we didn't bring our favorite people.
You guys know there's so many sandwiches. And also, my life has been nothing but sandwiches for the past couple months.
Can you give us one?
I'm actually excited for a rotisserie.
Okay.
Do you guys know that place? It's on like 20th and Chestnut.
Okay.
Yeah, they're doing a banh mi. That looks really exciting. I don't know. He's got some like apples and pork belly in there. A really like beautiful, fresh take on, you know, Vietnamese classic.
Awesome. And there's a bunch of booze too, right?
There is a bunch of booze. There's a lot of beer because it's Philadelphia. We've got Art and the Gage.
Philadelphia beer scene.
Yeah, Philadelphia beer scene.
Doff my cap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who's going to be there?
I think Art and the Gage is going to be there. Yards is going to be there.
Yards. Don Q Rum.
Don Q Rum.
That's made in Philadelphia, right?
Yeah, absolutely. By way of wherever that is from.
And then, Dad's Hat Pennsylvania Rye Whiskey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you guys tried it?
No, I have. I mean, I've heard about it. I didn't know that whiskey was coming out of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I think it's like one of the first rye companies since like Prohibition to start distilling in Pennsylvania.
I bet it's like quite a drink. Filtered from the Schuylkill.
Yeah.
It's pretty serious.
Yeah. Really filtered from the Schuylkill. Are the tickets still available?
There are, yeah. You go to citypaper.net/great-sandwiches. It's $35, which is pretty good for 3 hours of sandwiches and
drinking
booze.
And food?
It is.
Oh, that's pretty great.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing that is 20 bucks in Chinatown bus ticket.
I
go down from New York.
It's kind of a bargain, right?
It's really. And what year is this? Year one?
Boy. Year one. This
Year
is
one.
The premiere this is, Great Sandwiches event.
This is great. Are you making t-shirts?
We're not. But do you want one?
Maybe pins or buttons.
I don't know. We can work on it. We've got some time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got 10 days.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got
we can
10
do t-shirts.
Days. And then is there any bands? Any DJs?
We have Holly Sue Allen, who does Making Time. So,
great.
I don't know. She's
shout
great.
Out.
Yeah.
Shout out Dave P.
Yep.
And it's at Union Transfer?
It's at Union Transfer.
Shout out Sean Agnew.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That venue is amazing. Do you know about Union Transfer? They made like a mobile stage so they can cheat the speakers and the stage forward or back depending on it. So
we're pushing the stage way back because we have lots and lots of sandwiches.
I bet. Great.
Yeah.
Well, is the city of Philadelphia involved at all?
No.
Not yet. Not yet.
Maybe next
Not
year.
Yet.
Yeah.
Not yet. Oh, what does the winner of the sandwich competition get?
Please
tell me you made a trophy with like a gold sandwich on top.
I actually have somebody working on a really amazing trophy.
I feel it's, like winning food competitions and not there being some sort of kitschy trophy is just why I'm going to compete.
Yeah. The trophy is going to be.
I'm going to get you a trophy, cool. Greg, that has some fun food stuff on the top, and you'll be like, I totally get this.
It'll be like those like chopsticks.
Yeah.
Or like a half eaten like bowl of ramen.
Yeah.
All right, well, you know, thanks for coming on. Yeah, this sounds amazing.
Thanks, guys. You should come down.
Yeah, and do you want to shout out your own personal Twitter, tweet,
yeah, sure.
Instagrams?
Everything is Caroline Russock on Twitter, Instagram, everything.
You have a good Instagram.
Thanks.
How do you feel about your Instagram?
I feel pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What percentage is it food?
I don't know, like 99
yeah,
point something.
99%.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, like a dog will pop up in there.
Or a cat, or the beach, or something. Yeah, but, you know, that's
or there'll be, like, a taco and the beach in the background.
Yeah, which is the best.
Well, really appreciate you coming up to New York.
Thanks for having me.
Go come Flyers, down. 2015.
Yeah, come yeah. down for sandwiches.
Yeah.
We have another track from Too Pretty featuring Colin Self, who then we will be interviewing, and he will be performing live on Snacky Tunes. This is Women's Issues Part 1.
Laws of my body, keep your 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 laws of my body, keep your
How we get so, baby, how we get so, out of line so, baby, how we get so, how we get so, baby.
Silly games.
You play it.
Perpetrating lies and hate and negation. Got me rolling eyes in the back of my head till I'm fading. If this is what we want,
we're gonna get it.
If you don't know your past,
wanna dig it.
Showing up looking like an unlisted abbreviation. No invitation, RSVP application. Showing up looking like an unlisted abbreviation. No.
My body, if you want to It's a women's issue.
Too pretty.
Too pretty. Welcome back to Snacky Tunes, where we play a favorite game. Who's that couple in the window? Where are we right now? What are we thinking? Dating?
I think somewhere between being friends and having something deep happening. I don't know.
It's
verging because of the meal.
Yeah. He's definitely woken up. He looked a little rough to begin with, but I won't make my final call until we see how the check is split. Or if he picks it up.
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah. So indicative.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we'll keep you updated. Don't worry. Don't go anywhere.
Don't go anywhere. We have to figure out where this is.
Yeah.
Colin, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
It's development since you've been in the bathroom.
This is really cool to be in the presence of all these people eating food, enjoying food.
Yeah, I feel like there's a missed opportunity where we could just get like a bunch of like Japanese tourists to come in here and be like, you can pay to watch other people eat. Why you sit in a room?
I feel like that's a thing.
Yeah,
it's gotta.
You
be
don't
a
get
thing.
To eat.
No, but
you get to watch people eat,
And they just like beautiful food presentation.
Oh, I'm really into watching people eat. It's my thing.
Well, Colin, so you were asking how we found out about Shea Deep. So, not this past Basel, but the Basel before. I saw Shea Deep perform on that Saturday afternoon.
In that weird little room.
No. Not the. I missed that. I missed the room performance. Elizabeth Yeager was like, come to this thing, and I was like, I don't know where this is. But that Saturday afternoon in the back of that hotel.
Oh, yeah.
Where one of the members like did that Lana Del Rey lip sync that when it went in the... And I literally went, what the fuck am I watching? In like the best way possible. Where
it's always a good moment.
Where he started in front... Yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Harry Neff. That was... I think there was actually a bunch of moments where... Even being a person who's close with the other performers, I was really like, what is going on? Like, how is this existing in reality right now? Which, just to briefly recap, it was like, there was a moment where Harry Neff was waiting to Just Ride by Lana Del Rey, as it had kind of just come out, was like wading into water while like was fake bleeding from like the mouth and the eyes, I think. Into this like pool with all these like floating sculptures.
Massive pool.
Yes.
Like yeah.
It was in the huge pool in this like beautiful on the Miami beach. You know,
it was like 65th and Collins, and it was, like he was wearing like this like turquoise kind of like chiffon covering and this like one onesie, and then was bleeding, and then all the performers, and then you came out and you just sang a song, but you had just stood in place and were like shimmering with like energy, and like I was like, I have to meet all of these people, and I don't know what. And they're like, "Oh yeah, we're getting on a plane, and we're going to Trophy Bar tonight." And I was like, "Okay, good luck."
Wait,
good luck.
Yeah, my,
that was the after party in Williamsburg.
Well, it was like that's
the obvious move.
Yeah, I mean, you just like
Basel after party in Williamsburg.
I frequently found myself in these really kind of nonsensical situations that are also really fun, where it's like, "Oh, I'm on a beach performing in Miami, but tonight I'm like DJing in Brooklyn." But somehow it all like works out and makes sense.
Yeah, it was. But and then we worked with Shea Deep at Ace Hotel for Pride, and just kind of we've been following. So I realized that we had not had you on the radio show, and a good thing I reached out because you're going away to school.
Yeah, I'm about to start on a sound music program, which is going to be very crazy.
What's the program entail?
It's the Bard has a Milton Avery MFA program, which is low residency, so you're on campus for 2 months of the year, and during those 2 months you have like kind of a studio intensive where you have 40 studio visits over the course of 60 days. It's kind of really crazy. You kind of like lose your mind and then you come back to it, and then you lose your mind and come back to it, and then you go away for 10 months, make work, and then come back the following summer, and then you do one more round until you do like the final third summer. So it's a very weird, it's a very different way of doing a master's program, but at the same time is like kind of, I feel like the only way.
It sounds like it gives you time to really reflect and produce.
Yeah.
Which is so important these days to really produce anything of substance.
Yeah, which also I think to also not be kind of in just this bubble of, like, yeah. this safe group of, like, oh...
You're great. No, you're great.
Yeah, it's like, we all love each other, and then you leave school, and you're like, what am I
you're
doing?
You're like, oh, shit, everyone hates us.
Right.
So, for people who don't know who Colin Self is, who is Colin Self?
I am a composer, a choreographer, and,
One more, triple threat us.
What am I going to do? You know, these are always in flux. Today, I'm going to use, vocalist because I'm probably going to do a vocal thing later.
Triple threat. Here we go.
I really strongly believe that in this thing of, like, whatever you say you are, you become that thing. So you could be like, I'm an alien or I am a, I'm like a famous cook or whatever you want to say. And then if you say it enough times, it becomes real.
I don't know, I keep telling people I'm a ballet dancer and no one's buying it.
You can keep, I mean, who knows what ballet is going to mean in 10 years, so
I'll be real honest, if I'm the future of ballet, I am upset.
There's something really beautifully abstract about you being a ballet dancer that I think we should explore.
I have a very low center of gravity.
I think we can probably do, like, sitting ballet for you.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah.
Just kind of swaying Tchaikovsky.
Swaying, or maybe like.
Oh my god,
down.
He fully extended his arm. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, do you want to play a song for us? Do you want to get into this?
Sure. Do you, like, perform one? Or
yeah,
do
perform
you,
one.
Yeah,
perform
I
one.
Can do this once. I'll do A Flame.
Okay.
Should I? Is
yeah.
my phone's on?
Can you dedicate it to this couple out here?
I'm going to dedicate it
just
to
sing
this
to this couple.
Because this song is kind of about this, like, the unknown, weird, reaching the unknown, and I feel like this couple is really, they don't know.
God, I want this check to drop so badly.
And
I just
want
to see where we put
it. I feel like it might happen at the climax of the song or something.
If he puts out his credit card at the climax of the song, I'm going to lose my fucking mind.
I might cry. Okay, let's see, do we have a test? Oh, I have to turn the phone to back and change the song. There we are. Okay, can I just go?
Yeah, just go.
Oh.
All right. That was God. Funny because...
Because literally... No! Oh! Oh my God. All right, if we can just take you just a little play-by-play. So literally at the climax of the song, check comes, he puts his credit card down, she offers to pay. At first he takes the money and then waves it off, put his card back down.
I think it was a beautiful, like, romantic...
Yeah.
Like, coming to...
Wow, oh my God.
But that was also...
That might have been the best moment of Snacky Tunes of all time ever.
Well, also that... Yeah, I was like, I don't... That's like a new song for me, so I don't totally... There's like this uncertainty, and then like this uncertainty happening before us that's actually really kind of...
Kind of perfect.
It's kind of a moment.
Yeah, it's a moment. there was something you said before about, you know, writing songs and then hearing them after you've written them, being like, did that really come for me? Is that really like, how does that song relate to who I am? And how often do you put out something internally and then you reflect on it and you go like, how did that come out of me?
I feel like that's most of the things that I make, not to say that I don't have like a sense of agency over what I'm like trying to put into the world, as much as I think I really catch myself of being like, oh, like I wasn't initially looking to go in a specific direction or make a certain thing as much as this, like, the things that just come out of you when you, like, sit down and get in the weird zone of trying to,
make things happen?
Yeah, or that I also feel like what a good way of saying it is that, like, maybe I am a vessel for something else to...
Yeah.
Come, for these other things to transpire into, or into the world or something like that. I don't know.
When do you feel that that... your vesselage is, like, happening at the most?
When do I feel it's, like, happening the most?
Yeah.
Well, probably... I'm trying to think if there's a specific... I guess a lot of the things I'm doing right now, like, most of my performances are with... I'm working with, like, a group of choir singers. I have, like, a choir that I'm performing with. And when everyone is together, there's kind of these really crazy moments of, like, whoa, what just happened? Where we all do these, like... vocal exercises together, and then, or like, we sing these songs, and then afterwards we're all kind of like, whoa, that was really crazy.
Is it you and a group of singers surrounding you, or is it all equally sharing the weight?
It's kind of equally sharing the weight, like, in this way, yeah, it's like, I kind of will guide vocal practices, or like, vocal exercises, kind of loosely based on extended vocal techniques, or like, other, like, meditative things, and then we kind of just let it ride through the group, so I'm like a conductor of sorts.
And you have one coming up in Philadelphia, right?
I do, on the 24th at Vox Populi. This is for people in Philly.
Vox Populi. Yeah. This is a really real we're from Philadelphia, so this is a very Philly centric.
Yeah.
Dude, so, Vox Populi is, I can't believe it's still kicking.
Yeah.
It's been for like 20 years, 30 years now?
Yeah, it's got a deep history.
First Fridays. We used to go there and like steal cheese cubes and like sips of beer when we were like 17.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm glad at his house. Yeah, I'm really excited to be a part of it. And shout out to Jamila James for putting me on the bill and giving me a chance to do these like crazy choir performances. But it feels really good. And people are always like, what? Afterwards, they're like, what was that? Like, I don't know, something about having a group of people sing with such intention or like, it really... does something.
What are the three? I mean, you sent over like a ton of projects because you have Too Pretty, you have this, you have your party at the Shade Deep. How does the outfit and the attire change through the different events, or is it a similar set of aesthetics?
How does the what change?
Like your outfits, clothing, aesthetic.
It's so funny because I kind of just see it as this fluid thing. Like, I don't pay too much attention to what's physically happening as much as I almost feel as though there's this thing of being, like, aggressively neutral in weird ways, mm-hmm. or it's, like, to just be, like, myself.
Can I go back to you being more of just a vessel and things passing through you?
Kind of, but also, yeah, I guess so. Just being, like, I'm going to be in this, all of these projects the way that I just intuitively feel like I should be. Mm. I love the thing, don't force it, don't fight it, as, like, kind of drag mother. She's like a bio woman, but I call her my drag mother, but she always said, don't force it, don't fight it, and it's like a good way to like position yourself with projects of being like, I'm just gonna let this thing happen the way it's supposed to, not try to posit too much over it or let it posit too much over me.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you're going to be able to really put that mantra into effect with your program that you're going to be studying in.
I think so. Yeah, it's a lot of magic. It's a lot of doing. Like, I definitely believe strongly in, like, the alchemy of thinking that way or living intentionally.
And you're good with things just, like, approaching things that way and then not working as well, right?
Yeah, and also being, like, if you go and you put yourself into a project or if you, like, set out to do something and it's, like, very clearly defunct from the get-go, that you just can let it die and let the mortality be, like, what it is. Like, you don't...
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes things just don't click.
Right. And that's okay. And also, like, realizing that, like, the way that I make work and the media that I've created is not... That sometimes it just won't click. And that's, like...
fine. That's fine. Failure is totally fine.
I love failure. I think failure is more exciting than not... Than success.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. You gotta stand by both sides of it.
You do. You have to love both equally.
So I want to make sure we have time for one song, but, what do you have coming up where people can come see you?
I guess if you're in New York on the 30th, I'm throwing kind of a bon voyage. I throw this quarterly party called Clump that funnels into the Radical Diva grant, which is like a biannual arts grant. And the 30th at Secret Project Robot, there's going to be a bunch of performers. I'm performing with Too Pretty with Lane K. Shout out to Lane K, who is part of the first two songs that were played. And, so yeah, that's Secret Project Robot on the 30th. A bunch of amazing bands are playing and DJs. They'll be dancing. And I think that's it. And then I'm just gone for a while.
I'm so glad we were able to figure this out.
Thanks for coming
good
in.
Good timing, guys.
Yeah, it was like, sometimes for this show as well, you're just kind of like, I should just reach out. It just, like, makes sense. And perfect, like... And then we can have you back on after you come back from the first...
Yeah, see where my brain is then.
That'd be awesome. So, where can people find you, contact you, hear your sounds?
What's your Instagram?
My Instagram is bring a book. Like, if you're bored, you bring a book. And what else? You can contact me. I think find me via SoundCloud. My website... Oh, my friend Carrie Altman, shout out to Carrie Altman, just helped me get my website back to zero. It's colin-self.com. Or you can just find me on SoundCloud. My name, that's my real name. It's not a fake name.
Oh, okay. All right, well, we want to thank everyone for coming in. Check out the Sandwich Festival.
Great sandwiches.
Great sandwiches.
Union Transfer.
And then make sure to pick up a copy of The Gourmand.
And then head down to Bond Street and check out the pop-up.
Yeah. And we'll be back next week with Babies All Right.
Oh, yes. Entire hour dedicated to the most amazing new venue in Williamsburg. Food, music, just they... It's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right.
I love that venue.
And shout out to our parents, Philadelphia. See you next week.
Yeah. And so what's the name of this song you're going to take us out with?
It's Telling, and maybe I'll let it play. Should we just go into it?
Yeah. Do you want to sing?
Oh, what I want to say?
Yeah. Let's have you sing one more.
Oh, yeah. Sing. Yeah. I'm going to sing. Yeah. This is one more. It's called Telling. It's
from
an album.
Are you playing the 24th in Philly?
I am.
We're going to be in Philly on Saturday.
Yeah, you guys should come. That's the day of the performance.
Okay. Then we'll see you.
We'll see you Saturday.
Perfect.
Look how that worked out.
Beautiful.
Can we bring our parents?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Please bring your parents. I want as many parents to be there.
Okay.
They'll be into it.
Possible. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's choir stuff. Yeah. Right. Okay, ready?
Right.
Are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat and Three is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat and Three.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah, and my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.